Welcome to the Susquehanna Valley Baptist Pulpit, preaching a life worth living, abundant life in Christ. And now the message.
Take your Bibles, please, and turn to the book of Chronicles. 1 Chronicles chapter number 4. 1 Chronicles chapter number 4. Pastor said introduce your family. So I am Glenn. My wife's name is Katie. And then we have two little girls. Audrey is 5 and Juliana, who goes by JJ. She is 2. I'm from North Carolina. My wife's from Florida. We met in Illinois. We're based out of Ohio. And every week we're in a different place around the country. So where are we from? We're not sure. But it is a joy to be here this week. Usually we travel with our fifth wheel, which is our home full time. But we have some concerns about hauling it right now. So you all have put us up in a hotel, which is very nice, very comfortable. And thank you for your hospitality. It has been a true blessing. 1 Chronicles chapter number 4, we'll get right into the Word of God and let you remain seated for Sunday school. 1 Chronicles chapter 4, we'll begin reading in verse number 9. And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldst keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested. Would you pray with me? My Father, I thank you for your love for us, and I thank you for this time that we can open the Word of God. Now, Lord, I have nothing to offer these dear people, my new friends, except you. But you're enough. And so I'm asking that you'd meet with us even now. May you help not just our bodies, but our hearts to be awakened and tender to your working. And Holy Spirit, would you do your job of convicting and convincing? I can do neither. And I thank you for it. And I ask this the only way I know how, through the name and through the blood of my Jesus. Amen. Now, you have to forgive me as an evangelist. When I'm asked to teach a Sunday school lesson, that's a little bit hard on an evangelist. And so I have grappled with this many times that I'm asked to teach Sunday school. And I think, well, how do you do that as an evangelist? I mean, now wait, preaching must always include teaching. That's biblical. But teaching doesn't always include preaching. So if I just err on the side of preaching, I think we'll be safe. So if you go out and say, good night, he preached to us during Sunday school. Also, forgive me, but it's still the Word of God, all right? In 1 Chronicles, when you open up Chronicles, I almost scratch my head and think, now what am I going to get from Chronicles? You know what I'm talking about? When I was in Bible college, it seemed like you always would run into these people that would count themselves, I don't know, seeming like they were more spiritual than everybody else. And they'd come up to you the morning you hadn't had any coffee, and the morning you'd slipped into your seat just in the nick of time before the class started, and they'd say something like this, so what'd you get out of your Bible reading this morning? And I'd think, I'm reading in 1 Chronicles. What did I get out of my Bible reading this morning? I mean, you're reading about names that you cannot pronounce, and I'm from North Carolina, and so there are some names that are even harder for me to even hear, much less pronounce. And so I was reading through 1 Chronicles when I was asked, what'd you get out of your Bible reading this morning? And I thought, good night, I've got to give this guy something. I did read. I know I got something. I don't remember what it was. And so I just looked at him. I said, well, if you get married, you're probably going to have kids. I mean, 1 Chronicles, you're talking about so-and-so begat so-and-so and so-and-so begat so-and-so. I mean, it just seems right. And so I'm opening up 1 Chronicles, and I'm reading through 1 Chronicles here recently, and I'm reading about names, and I'm just wading through. And please understand, God has a purpose for that in the Bible. He did preserve it, and by the way, he did preserve the Old Testament as well as the New. I get weary of these people that say, why would you preach from the Old Testament? It's old. Duh. Excuse me. But God preserved it longer than he did the New. And if God preserved it, then God has a point to it. And there's principles to live by all throughout the Word of God. I've had people say, well, that means we're not supposed to eat bacon. Well, the principle in the Bible was not so much don't eat bacon as it was be different from the world. And the principle remains the same. So eat bacon, but be different from the world, God's people. That's what it's saying. So you open up this passage, and to me, all of a sudden, this name Jabez pops out of nowhere. You're reading about one person begetting another person and begetting another person. All of a sudden, Jabez. And he's only mentioned in two verses. And I almost scratch my head at the name Jabez because I've been in the Bible bookstores. Very few exist anymore. And when you walk into a Bible bookstore, you do see the name of Jabez. You see his name on Bible covers. You see him on bookmarks. You see him on plaques. And usually it has these verses on there. And I always think to myself, how does that help me? You know what I mean. I think Jabez, it's kind of like the footprints in the sand. Yeah, they're there. And so when I read the name Jabez here in the Bible and then I don't find his name anywhere else, I had to stop for a minute and I had to really go over these verses and read these and think, okay, why does God just seemingly throw his name in here in two verses? And it doesn't say he begat anybody. It's just all of a sudden, and Jabez. And the Lord kicked me in the teeth in my study. And there were several things in the life of Jabez that I think many times we just miss. Jabez prays in this passage. And when Jabez prays, the end of the verse that we read says this, and God granted that which he requested. I asked myself this question, when was the last time I prayed and I knew God would answer the way I prayed? And then I began to ask myself this, what am I praying for that I know God will answer? Now I understand this from the rest of the Word of God. God always answers when his people pray if they're praying according to his will, 1 John, and if they are right with God, the book of Psalm, when David says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Sometimes we have God's people that pray and God's not listening because they're not right with the holy God. God is bound under no condition to answer God's people's prayer if they are not walking with him. But in the Word of God, if you're walking with him, if you're talking with him and he with you, if you're praying according to his will, God will answer. Now, sometimes he answers yes. We know that. Sometimes maybe in our own finite and in our own prideful minds, we think God rarely answers yes. Most of the time, we have the idea that God answers no or God answers wait. By the way, both of those are also answers. God does answer prayer. But when I read Jabez's prayer and Jabez asks God for three things and God says, yes, I think to myself, well, maybe I should start praying the way Jabez prayed. I mean, most of the time we pray what I like to call hazy, crazy, and lazy prayers. Hazy prayers, those prayers that we just, they don't really make a whole lot of sense, but we say them over and over and over again. How about this? You come to church and you ask God to bless the missionaries. It sounds good, doesn't it? We say it a lot, but what does it mean? You see, where I'm from in the Deep South, when we say bless, it doesn't mean what most people think it means. You see, in the South, you can say anything about anyone, and as long as you follow it with bless your heart, you're forgiven. So you walk in the church and you say something like this, good night. Your wife mad at you? She dressed you in an awful way. You look pathetic, bless your heart. And you know what? Thank you, brother, for caring. I mean, it's that kind of idea. Or if you change your vocal inflection, you can say something, if somebody's talking about, you know, so-and-so is sick and so-and-so is on their deathbed and life's just going rough, and you can say, oh, Bless your heart. That doesn't mean you're so dumb. That means I feel for you. All right. So you can say the word bless different ways. But sometimes when we pray, we just throw in that word bless and we don't really know what it means from the Bible. We pray that hazy prayer or we pray the crazy prayer. You know, Lord, I need $1 million. Don't we all? But the Lord's not promised to meet those prayers. Or we pray not just the hazy prayers and the crazy prayers, but the lazy prayers. You know what I'm talking about. Have you ever been in church before? And the usher who's taken the offering, and I know we don't really do that since the COVID, but you ask an usher to pray for the offering, and poor usher, bless his heart, he's thinking about something totally different. But he's been asked to pray. And so he stands there with the plate in his hand and he says, Dear Lord, I thank you for this food we're about ready to eat. And everybody knows where his mind is. And then he realizes where his mind is. And he tries to fix it. This spiritual food from your holy word. And I think, that's a lazy prayer. You're just praying because, well, that's the way you've always prayed. I remember my grandpa. He'd pray, and every time he would pray for the food, it was the same rote prayer that he'd pray over and over and over. And I'm not being mean. I'm not trying to. But sometimes we say words without talking to the Lord. Now, the Lord wants to hear our prayer. He wants to answer our prayer. So maybe like Jabez, we should start praying the way Jabez prayed when God says, Yes, Jabez, I hear your prayer. I'll answer your prayer. It's interesting. Jabez is not a preacher. We don't know much about Jabez, as Jabez is mentioned, at least where I can find, nowhere else in Scripture. So you have to go back to history and tradition, and not inspired, I understand that. But history and tradition will teach that Jabez was a physician of some kind. He would have lived as a contemporary to a man named Ezra. You remember Ezra's day, don't you? A wicked, wicked day where people didn't seek God, didn't love God, didn't want anything to do with God. They set up other gods. And so now you, with that in mind, you read about the man named Jabez, who isn't a preacher, he isn't a prophet, he's a career man, a doctor, again, going back to your tradition and history of the Jews, and you find that Jabez here does something that is totally unpopular. It's not politically correct in his day, just like it's not in our day, and he calls on the God of Israel. You know, many times, even in our churches across America today, you know how we pray? Our Father, which art in Washington. Washington is not going to help us. They never have. They never will. We need the Lord. And we need Him desperately. We need revival. Not in America, because America doesn't need revival. America needs vival. They need life. The Church of Jesus Christ needs revival. They need that abundant life that He says, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. We need God's people seeking God. And God says, when you seek me, you'll find me. God's not just someone who resides in the Bible. He's a real and living person that wants to work in and through you each and every moment of each and every day. We're not going to make a difference in the world unless we let Him make a difference in us. And Jabez, in this passage, he does something unpopular. He calls on the name of the Lord. Not a pastor, not a preacher, not an evangelist, on God. It's interesting when he calls on the Lord, notice what he says in verse number 10, all that thou wouldst, and here's the word, bless me indeed. Now when I read that, I thought about how we use the word bless in the South. Bless me. But I knew I didn't mean that, so I had to look it up and found out that the word bless in this passage has the very idea of someone in need, bending their knee to the king. I can't, you can. Jabez asked this from God first of all. He says, God, I need your help. We say, well, that's simple. Really? You see, sometimes we have the idea, and I've heard it said for years, God and I are a majority. No, no. God's the majority. I need to choose God's side. A lot of times we want God to bless us when God says, follow me, and that is blessing. Obedience always brings blessing. Disobedience always brings consequences. Jesus is always the answer. Sin is always the problem. And you come to the passage and Jabez says, I need God. By the way, we just don't need him in our church. We need him in our homes, in our workplace, in our lives. And if we expect God to touch everybody else, it's going to start with us recognizing we personally need God. And in this verse, Jabez says, I need you to bless me. In other words, I can't do it. John 15, without me, ye can do some things. We do an awful lot for Jesus that he hasn't blessed. He hasn't empowered. We do an awful lot that we ask God to stamp his name of approval on it when God wants nothing to do with it. And in this passage, Jabez, a career man, says, I need you. Can I ask you something? How desperately do you need God? Sometimes we just tack God on, and that's not the way God intended it. I'm not supposed to live the Christian life. You realize that, right? From the Word of God. When I live the Christian life, I'm going to fall flat on my face. Instead, I am supposed to yield to Him and let Christ live His life through me. Abide in me. And I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. And you come to this passage and Jabez says, Lord, I'm going to ask you for your help. In other words, I'm not asking you to come alongside of me. I'm asking you to do it because I cannot in any way. We need God. We need Him more now than we've ever needed Him before. With the idea not that he has changed, but that we have changed and strayed and we need God. We don't just need him to come alongside or his stamp of approval. We need to follow him all the way. Jabez says, Lord, I need your help. And the Lord says, you got it. I think, good night. Wouldn't it be great if I was in my predicament and I just said, help. And God said, yes. By the way, that's what salvation is. Have you ever asked somebody, hey, you know you're on your way to heaven? Most of the time, even God's people will say something like this. I prayed a prayer when I was, excuse me. Please don't misunderstand me. Prayer never saved anyone. My prayer didn't die for me. Jesus did. Is prayer how I talk to the Lord? Yes. But sometimes we put so much stock in what we said that we struggle with the assurance of our salvation. Did I say the right thing? Did I really? Here's a big one. Did I really mean it? Wait a minute. Did you understand you're on your way to hell and you need Jesus? It comes down to this. Ready? Help! He says, absolutely. I need him, and I need just him. By the way, it's not me plus Jesus that gets me to heaven. It's just Jesus. And I know so many people. I've been in countries and preached where I've seen people crawl on their knees for miles just to pray a prayer and light a candle. They're on their way to hell if they're not trusting Jesus. I've seen people write prayers out, roll them up, tie them on trees. The Lord doesn't hear those prayers. he hears the cry that says, "Help! I don't have salvation in being a thing. My salvation is a person, and his name is Jesus." Same way, living the Christian life. I need Jesus. Jabez says, "Lord, I need your help." Then notice what he says in verse number 10. He says that thou wouldst bless me indeed and enlarge my coast. Now, I'm from the coast of North Carolina. So when I read this, I thought, well, good night. He's asking for beachfront property. I mean, what's he want? He want to sit on the beach and fish all day? But then I realized this. Jabez, as a career man, is asking God to do something in and through him. He's not asking God to give him something. He's asking God to enlarge his realm of influence for God. He's saying, "Lord, I need your help in me, but I need you to take over all around me. Would you give me more opportunities to touch more people for you? Not so that people remember the name of Jabez, but so people remember the name of the God of Israel." Let me ask you something. Based on this, did the people in this city, did they know the name of Susquehanna Valley Baptist Church? Or did they know that there's a God at Susquehanna Valley Baptist Church? There's a difference. And you come to this passage and Jabez says, "Lord, I need your help." But then he says in the rest of the verse, he says, "And that thine hand might be with me." This is astounding to me. Jabez says, "Lord, I need your help. But number two, I need your hand." I've heard this said for years. "Oh, did you see what's happening down there? The fingerprints of God were all over that place." I don't want the fingerprints of God. You know what the fingerprints of God are? Excuse me. I was there. I'm not now. I left my mark, but I'm not there now. The hand of God is where God moves in such a way that you know God's present and God did it, not man. I hear people talk many times in churches all across America, the East, the West, the North, the South. And especially, excuse me, I say this as kindly as I can, the old breed, the wiser, that have been in church for years and years and years and years. Many times I hear this, "Oh, that we were to live in the golden years. In the years where God worked and we had the sawdust trail." Sawdust trails did nothing for anybody. God did, and so people hit the sawdust trails. "Oh, but what God did," excuse me, "if we put God in the past, he'll stay in the past." But the God of the Bible isn't just the God of the past, he's the God of the present and the future. He says, "I change not. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever." We need the hand of God, not just looking back, because if we continue to look back, we'll stay in the past. We need God now. Now. We need God's people, not just to look at God in the covers of the Bible, but to look for God's working now. I need God's help. I need God's hand. But lastly, notice what he says. He says, "And that thou wouldst keep me from evil, and it may not grieve me." Jabez says, "Lord, I'm asking you for three things. I'm asking God for your help. I can't do it. God, I need your hand. I need you to step in and do it all. And then, Lord, I need your hindrance." You know, it seems to me like most of us as God's people, that's one thing that we have failed to ask God for: his hindrance. "Lord, close the doors where I'm not supposed to tread. Lord, show me what I'm not supposed to do. And I don't mean right or wrong, because the Bible is very clear on obedience and disobedience. I mean surrender to the Lord's will. Lord, do you want me to do this? Lord, do you want me to do this? Most of the time in our churches, most churches, I'm sure not here, but most churches, we have business meeting to decide what we're going to do. Maybe we should have a prayer meeting instead. I'm not trying to be harsh, but shouldn't we seek the Lord? Now, in most churches, I would expect that they would have already had a prayer meeting, and now they're having a business meeting. That would be God's plan. But we need the hindrance of God. Jabez says, keep me from evil. I've heard people say this before. They've said, well, the devil's fighting today. By the way, Christian, that's a good thing. I'd be afraid if the devil wasn't fighting. That would mean he'd be happy with the way things were going, right? But I had a pastor call me this week. He said, Brother Glenn, the devil's fighting awful hard. I asked him this. I said, well, how many people have been saved in the last month? He said, I don't know, probably about 15. How many have you baptized? Oh, probably about 20. How many did you have on soul winning? Oh, probably about 30. Well, the devil's going to fight because God's working. But many times we don't want the devil to fight, and we're so conscious of that that we're not willing to submit to the Lord. By the way, when we're walking with the Lord, He says, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's not perfection. That's Jesus is perfect. Choose to follow Him. And here He says, Lord, when I walk with you, and when you're walking with me, you're greater. I need your hindrance so that I'm not grieved. In other words, so I don't have to sit and be convicted. By the way, conviction's a good thing. That's a good thing. And by the way, when the Bible is preached, the Bible will always work no matter who's preaching. Isaiah 55. But Jabez says here, he says, I need the hand of God, the help of God, and the hindrance of God so that people can see God, not me. And then the last part of the verse, God grants him that which he requested. And I think, good night. When was the last time I prayed? When was the last time I said, Lord, I need this, I need this, and I need this? And God said, you got it. I think, good night. Maybe I should start praying Jabez's way. You say, what's the difference between the way Jabez prayed and the way we pray? Jabez is not asking so much for things as he's asking for a person. You say, is it wrong to ask for things? No, that's not what I'm saying. And God's promised to meet our needs when we bring them to Him. You have not because you ask not. But in this passage, Jabez is not seeking for what Jabez can get out of it. He's seeking for God to have glory in the life of Jabez. God, I need your help. I can't do it. God, I need your hand. I don't want to touch any of it. I need you to do it all. And God, I need your hindrance that I can walk with you, that I can glorify you, that I can be yielded to you, and that you will not allow me to trip and fall and choose to sin simply because I'm walking with you. Now, as soon as you stop walking with the Lord, what happens? Well, you've chosen to sin. By the way, sin is not an oops. You realize that, right? Sometimes I hear this phrase. I hear, oh, did you hear about preacher so-and-so? They fell into sin. You don't fall into sin. I get this idea when I hear the word fall. I get the idea that somebody's just walking along, minding their own business, and all of a sudden, somebody left the manhole cover off. Oh, that's politically incorrect. Did you know that? It's politically incorrect to call it a manhole cover. I don't know what you call it, but it's politically incorrect. They fell. Oh, no, you chose. You chose sin over following the Lord. And Jabez says, I need God. I need His help, His hand, and His hindrance. And God granted him that which he requested. So can I ask you this? What are you and I asking God for? Preacher, can I ask Him for things? Sure. But maybe before we do that, we should focus on seeking God, His hand, His help, and His hindrance, so that we can please Him and so that He, through us, can touch a dying world.
Thank you for listening. If you'd like to contact us, please write us at P.O. Box 126541, Harrisburg, Pennsylvania 17112, and visit our website at www.svbcpa.org. Until next time,